When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Atlanta, we got in. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Mike Bell, we do not know at this point who the official starter is going to be. But listen, I just want to give you guys some perspective on this. Just a little bit. Because all season long, Mike said, I don't care if we win this division.
Right.
I just want to get in the wild card. We didn't know how this was going to work out. We got in last night after we finished the show. Obviously, we're excited about the fact that we're back in the playoffs. But every year when we face these other teams, Mike, they all seemingly have something going on. We have been the better team over the last few years, and we haven't gotten it done. I'm going to give us a puncher's chance, or even more than that, against this Padres team that's loaded. And let's see what happens. Mike, you get to the DS.
Right.
Maybe Sale is back. Maybe that changes the dynamic. But I just can't feel right now like we're going to make this trip halfway across the country and get beat.
Yeah, no, like it is a 2 out of 3. So it just, everything gets just magnified and amped up. And it's just tough when you don't have the best pitching going. I mean, obviously the perfect scenario would have been to have won the first game against the Mets. And then we would have had Chris Sale. Then we later found out that Chris Sale hasn't really been right for a couple of days, maybe longer. So he's not on this postseason roster. Chris Sale's not going to be an option for you. The Padres have got all the guys they've added up, including guys they've acquired at the trade deadline. You know, they've got Yu Darvish. They've got all the guys that did this stuff, got to where they are. They've been a hot team. They've been really hot in the second half. So it's going to be tough. It's not easy. That's a team that's a lot of money's been invested on, and they've responded.
They are a scary team, and a lot of folks around baseball have felt like getting into the playoffs, nobody wanted to play this team. This is the dangerous team.
Certainly, you could argue the Mets wanted no part of it.
No, I agree, Mike.
They basically threw up the white flag by going with a double-A starting pitcher yesterday to get the final game of the season done.
I felt like the matchup for the Mets was going to be a lot easier heading back to Milwaukee, and obviously they felt that way as well. But for us, as the Braves start this playoff series against, again, the Padres, we got to give some props to Grant Holmes, man. I mean, when you get called upon in the situation that he did yesterday, you just don't know what you're going to get. It could be a disaster or it could be a really good outing. And it was a really good outing for him. 7 Ks, huge start after Chris Sale and the announcement of the back spasms. So first and foremost, let's start there with giving him some props.
Great job.
As far as where this goes now, the names might read like a list of, oh, I know him. Oh, wait a minute. I remember him. Wait a minute. Didn't he pitch a playoff game for us? That's kind of what this list of potential starters looks like for us.
Yeah, A.J. Smith-Shawver is back. Now, I don't see Ian Anderson on that list.
Mr.
Anderson. And that's one. He looked good in Gwinnett, so I'm a little confused. I'm confused by their tactics because Elder, you know, Anderson's got a little more velo than Bryce Elder, Carl. Bryce Elder doesn't have, like, you know, knock you out stuff.
Right.
So he's got to be good with his location, and he's got to pitch the contact and hope that guys behind him can obviously do their jobs. But it's not exactly, you know, murder's row from where we were looking. Losing Chris Sale is just kills you. Ronaldo Lopez looks like he's good to go. Hopefully Max Fried has certainly been clutched down the stretch for the Braves, so hopefully he'll be able to do more of that. It's just the way this season ended, it's just so, I don't know, apropos for a game that you're starting in, you know, literally the day after you just had to get through all the drama yesterday. And we've missed so many games to injury, and now you don't have Chris Sale for the series.
What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. We want to hear from you. You can text us as well. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in this radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Now, I want you to hear Brian Snicker after we clinched a spot in these playoffs last night. Now, they immediately jumped on a plane and went out to California. But Snit is right about this, guys. Anything can happen.
It's awesome. I mean, I mean, when we were kind of, I told Witt one day, I was like, we're running out of you rejects to play, you know? So, no, it's awesome. Like I said, I'm really happy for the guys. They put so much into this on a daily basis and, you know, their families and everything. So it's a special time when you get to go because you never know. You know what? We're in. Anything can happen now.
Hey, man, it would be one for the ages if the Braves could find a way to make it happen. Hell, just to – look, there's no moral victories. I mean, a team that was built and has a nucleus that everybody 1 through 9 is – or 1 through 8, I should say, Carl's under contract, and you've got so many young stars. Don't have to remind Braves fans, decimated by injury, but you came back and you scrapped and you battled with journeymen, with dudes that, like, literally released from other teams. Pitchers coming back and forth from Gwinnett. I mean, it's been amazing. That's why, guys, I get it. You want to bang on Snicker? There's not a lot of managers that can cobble together what he did this year with all the stuff, Carl, they had to deal with.
You know, a few years ago when we won it, I said this is by far his best managerial job as far as in a season. I lied. It's this year. Too many things to maneuver day in and day out, and your biggest stars absent. This is by far, just to get us here, is his best managerial job. Now, Mike, if he goes above and beyond and we somehow find a way into the championship series or the World Series, then that's a whole nother conversation. But you have to beat the Padres. It's Dukes and Bell. Now that the Braves are in, now what? Well, we face arguably the best team in the second half. Mike mentioned it. They were 43-20, guys, in the second half. Nobody was better. So why? They have a stacked lineup, and I think they have the best bullpen in Major League Baseball. As we look at this series, there are guys that are hot, which gives me a lot of hope, Mike. Ozzy was 4-for-31 going into Monday. You see what he did yesterday? That home run that we thought was going to be the difference. I mean, he had in the doubleheader, he was 3-for-7 with a double. Ozzy might just be going right now. We know about Harris. Olsen, since July 31st, has heated up. Ozuna, 28 career games. Against these guys, Mike, 7 home runs and 840 OPS. Maybe this gives us the hope that this lineup facing this particular team can get it done.
You got the dudes that you know, like Manny Machado. You got guys, you know, certainly, you know, that you've expected. Because the Padres for years, it was kind of funny, Carl, they wouldn't put any money into the thing. And all of a sudden, they've been spending like the Yankees, it seems like the last couple, like 4 or last 5 years. But you know some of the names, and you've seen it both on the pitching side, in the outfield. They've got stars, man. They got a lot of dudes. Fernando Tatis Jr., one of the stars before the injuries and kind of set him back initially. So, and you got to start there. I mean, that's part of it. You know, it's 2 over there in San Diego. It's long odds, but I'll give you, like I said, give me a puncher's chance. And it's a guy just hit me up on Twitter. It's so funny. The attitude, the roller coaster of emotions. Guy goes, I don't expect anything. Well, then you can't be disappointed.
That's right.
Okay? I mean, look, guys, we're in it. We're here. You know, it's a hell of an accomplishment. No, I'm not going to rationalize, because every year I think you should expect to win the World Series when you're one of the top 5 teams in baseball. But there's only so many things you can do, Carl, when you don't have Austin Riley, and you don't have Ronald Acuna, and you don't have Spencer Strider, and everybody else who was gone for half the season.
That's the thing that they've overcome. And that's why I'm so shocked that they're even here, to be quite honest with you. I kept thinking this thing was going to fall apart. You guys know, I kept saying, look, this is not a good team. How are we going to find ways to win? And they just kept doing it. The issue, I think, for us as Braves fans is they've been so dominant the last few years that they didn't do it in a way that you went, I know for sure we're going to be all right. We didn't run off 10 or 12 in a row. We barely had, you know, 3-game sweeps for a few months there. I mean, you're going back to June or July, I believe it was, up until the last time that we just got one. It's not been a dominant series or season, but we found a way to get in. Let's hear Matt Olson, Mike, because he says we've been battle-tested. Is this what the mantra is going to be as they head into this series tonight?
I feel like we've been tested throughout this year. You know, it hasn't come easy for us by any means. We found a way to push through, come back in some games, you know, grind out some wins. And that's the kind of stuff you're going to have to do in the postseason. So to have that happen for 162, you get ready for it.
Major League Baseball media was polled about the series. 27 writers to none say the Padres are going to win. So, all right. Our man, Mr. No Three Putts, just sent this to us. Pretty funny. Thanks for the link, man. You got a producer credit there, Sparky. But, yeah, nobody's giving us a shot. So let's go for it. Let's be Rocky Balboa against Apollo Creed. Let's go.
I give us, again, anything can happen. I'm with Snit on this. I'm with Matt Olson on this. But you need a little magic.
But, I mean, you needed, look, if it was Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez and Max Fried, then you really liked a puncher's chance in this. You know, having to roll out A.J. Smith-Sharper or Bryce Elder.
It's hard.
I got to be honest. I mean, I'm not exactly, you know, if you're going to, you know, if this was a suicide pool, you would never, ever, ever pick the Braves in this playoff of all the teams that are still alive. It's just, it's frustrating, but you got to make the most of it and just hope that somebody, a Laureano hits a friggin' home run, right? Somebody comes up and does something other than right-handed Ozzie.
That's it, Mike. I mean, here's the deal in these series, and we've seen it. We've seen it against our own team where a bum comes up, or a guy that you did not expect to do anything, all of a sudden Mike has a great at-bat, or has a couple of great at-bats, or has a great game, and you go, we didn't expect that, and therefore it allowed us to win this game. Then you find yourself in a predicament where, what if we steal game one tonight? Mike, it's three games. What if we steal game one tonight? And you're starting
That's
a guy
it.
That you don't trust,
right.
And all of a sudden you get some magic. So that
when it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
That's where I'm at with this, Atlanta. Grab yourself and let's go.
Look, and as look, we know this, and every Braves fan knows this because you lived through the Bobby Cox Braves years. If the best team, you know, doesn't always win, we've seen it. I mean, we've seen the Braves get knocked out. That NLDS, that best of five, always seems to be their kryptonite. Pressure on the the Dodgers have only won one World Series, having the best lineup, hands down.
Yes,
you know, and they've only got one to show for it in the last 10. And we know that the Padres also will feel the pressure if you can steal game one.
All right, man. We got plenty to talk about. We will dive into the lineups, the official word coming from San Diego about the pitching tonight and all that as we move along today. We've got a lot to chop up, though. Coming up, we will talk more about our offense as we turn the page and start to get ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Andy and Randy are going to be up there tomorrow interviewing Coach and having a player as well. Schedules didn't work out this week for us to be there because of early practices, but our guys are going to take care of it. They'll do a terrific job. Make sure you tune in. And for those who miss it, Mike and I will certainly replay that for you later tomorrow afternoon. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We're coming back. Two games last night. One sucked, one was really entertaining. We'll talk about it next. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about our Braves starting a series against the Padres tonight. It's the last game, guys, so it gives you time to get home, Mike, get comfortable, and check the game out tonight.
It was kind of cool watching last night on Bally Sports and seeing our man Brandon Gaudin and everybody in the locker room and spraying the champagne. Yeah, man, after a year like that, I mean, you deserve to spray some champagne. Have some fun. So they had a little time doing that. I got a kick out of here at Eastbound and Down. And there's so many likable guys on this team, especially when you consider how these guys were thrown into this pennant race, Carl. You know, whether you were somebody who was released, you know, DFA'd, and next thing you know, you find yourself, hey, maybe the odds are long, but you do find yourself in the postseason. And Grant Holmes, it was so funny and so humble. Like, how does it feel, Grant? Well, it's all kind of... Well, it's kind of crazy, you know. He was just so low key and just, you know, affable, like so many guys in this squad. So, hey, man, who knows? Maybe they can shock the world. Why not?
That's where I'm at. I need a little magic. I don't know where that comes from, but every postseason, teams that advance get it, and it doesn't mean you win the World Series, but maybe you get a little bit further than expected. And right now, by the way, nobody in Major League Baseball, Mike pointed this out, not only believes we're going to beat this team, nobody believes we can get past the you know, next round, the divisional round. That's kind of like our the height of our season, if you want to say. Most people think even if we're able to beat the Padres, there's no way the Braves are going to get any further. So take it, put it in your back pocket, and let's see what happens, man. As we mentioned, we have a lot to get to. We're going to talk about Kirk Cousins. He was talking about, you know, that he didn't play well enough on the final drive and how Koo picked him up. He did give credit to the offensive line, talking about the protection in the last game, and he says he's got to play a lot better. Mike, we've heard this now the last few weeks, and we're going to dive into this because there is an eye-popping stat that we have to share with you when we talk about our quarterback right now. And by the way, I think he'll be under duress again on Thursday night. I think the Bucs, Mike, are going to pressure him, and they may get a couple of sacks. We've got to find a way to move the ball vertically and start making some of these explosive plays, man.
Now, it's hard because, you know, we've seen some teams look like, you know, heroes to zeros from like week one to week two, and we've seen the Bucs struggle with the Broncos. And granted, the Broncos, maybe, you know, we're underestimating what they're doing defensively because they just stymied the Jets on the road. But the Bucs in the game against the Eagles didn't have A.J. Brown, and they didn't have Devontae Smith because of the concussion. So they were out two huge weapons for Jalen Hurts. And even with Saquon Barkley doing the best he could, they didn't have the full complement. And I don't know how much you want to give them a pass on that or you don't, but they sacked Jalen Hurts six times because he's sitting there trying to find somebody open. There really wasn't anybody open. But we know the ball's got to come out a lot quicker, and we just got to be more clutch. And you said it to start the show, Kirk Cousins just got to be better.
He does. We'll let you hear what he has to say. Stay there. That's coming your way in about 10 minutes. Big O is behind the glass, our engineer, Turtle. He is our executive producer. Let's hit some headlines. Just ugly. Just ugly. I mean, you give me two Monday night games. Can I be entertained? Oh. The first game, at least it started earlier than the other one, was Titans-Dolphins. Dolphins are lost right now.
Yeah, they really, you know, we joked around about, would you trade for Russell Wilson? Would you? I mean, I don't know where you go with this. There's a lot of, you know, there's a couple of guys that are kind of like bums right now sitting around. I don't know where you go. And you know what? Now you're not so demonstrative in Tua, you have to walk away. Now, Tua, we really want you to maybe put on two of those goofy-looking padded things on your helmet and get back out there because he apparently is the only guy that can figure out that offense. You know, they say it's complicated, and there's a lot of things you got to know in the Shanahan offense, his version of it, Coach Brah. But, man, they are lost. You're right.
Tyler Huntley threw for 96 yards.
His only play was literally throw it as far as you can down the field and hope somebody gets it. And I was waiting for when Tariq Hill was going to pop, and he snapped last night. But, you know, it's born of frustration. We knew it was coming.
It is. Titans win. They get their first dub of the season, 31-12. But that game was ugly. Like, seriously, it was not fun to watch.
No.
The other game, Geno! The Seahawks go into the Lions' den, pardon the pun, and gave us a really entertaining game. The deal, though, is the Lions are really good. And, Mike, when you talk about this game last night, everybody wants to talk about the play where Amon-Ra St. Brown throws the ball to Jared Goff, right, and everybody's losing their mind when we find out that he is the emergency quarterback. He's like, dude, I got an arm. I can play.
Jared leans in. There's the snap. Jared on the end around gives it to Amon-Ra. He's going to throw it to Jared. It's on to the end zone. Jared Goff. Oh, baby, on the receiving end of a pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, Ben Johnson, I see you too. That is beautiful stuff.
Yeah, man, call it a Motown special if you want, man. By the way, I know some people didn't like, and I'm very traditional with the uniforms in the NFL. I thought those uniforms cut glass last night.
Lions?
The Lions?
Yeah.
With the dark blue, with the black lion.
I liked it.
I thought that was pretty tight.
Goff, 18 for 18, guys. That's not a misprint. He didn't miss a pass last night. Now, it's literally a perfect game. When you talk about a quarterback, we talk about, you know, 90%, 85%. Hell, 70% is great in any game. This was 100. 18 for 18, 292, two touchdowns. He was really good last night. But the Lions have all the makings. And what you saw last year was not a fluke. They have a run game. They have arguably the best offensive line in the league. They have a quarterback, Mike, who could deliver. And they have a star wide receiver with a very good tight end. They got all the makings, man.
They got dudes that can get after the quarterback. I know that we've seen it before. They, you know, to have that kind of edge rush, and ironically, Hutchinson wasn't really a factor last night on the stat sheet. He was a little banged up in the game. But the Lions, they're fun to watch. You're right. This was such an antithesis of what you saw earlier in the undercard with the Dolphins and Titans. This had a lot of offense, a lot of action, trick plays. Jahmyr Gibbs, two touchdowns for me and my fantasy team, too. Hello. But, yeah, I like the Lions, man. I think they're going to be there. I think now with the news about the 49ers and McCaffrey, the good news is the NFC, I think, is still wide open.
I do, too.
Because I still don't think we've seen the complete team yet put it all together. We certainly haven't even come close to putting four quarters on offense together.
I agree. And the 49ers are in flux right now. Until they get McCaffrey back, if they don't, that's a whole other story. So let me hear Mike McDaniel. This is the coach of the Dolphins. They have some soul searching going on.
We have to assess everything. You know, I hesitate to overcook before I watch the film and kind of marinate on this whole situation. But you know, there will be things that will change. It's kind of hard to say exactly what those things are, but we're definitely in need of it.
We don't have a quarterback. I mean, you got to wait a few more. Is it three more weeks? Best case scenario to get Tua Tagovailoa back. This is where your general manager's got to go out there and start to make some deals and shop some picks. And I don't know. I mean, we just threw Russell Wilson out there just knowing that, you know, it seems like the Steelers
are happy.
He may
be available, yeah.
Yeah, happy with what they've got with Fields. You know, how about Flacco then? Anthony Richardson goes out and Flacco takes over.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
And he looked good.
And I don't think Flacco, if there's no reason they're going to trade him with Anthony Richardson's penchant for getting knocked out of games.
No. It's a problem for Miami. They got to figure it out. And by the way, if they don't, to Mike's point, you know what you're telling your locker room? We quit. You got a bunch of guys who put in a lot of work, Mike. They thought they were going to be good. This is why our situation, and nobody wants to say it, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Steelers situation, pretty good.
Right.
When you start talking about the what ifs, if it was to happen, how much of a fall off is there going to be? Dolphins feel like they're completely lost. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live well.
Yeah, I mean, I see there's already articles written, well, if Miami tanks, oh, please. Oh, come on. We're really going to have that conversation?
What, they're going to get Shador?
What, Shador Sanders? Come on. I mean, you still got a nucleus there. You've got to try to do something. Now, famously, the Dolphins in the perfect season had Earl Morrill take over for Bob Greasy, and they went friggin' undefeated. But I don't know if there's an Earl Morrill out there right now for these guys for a quote moral victory.
Hey, Georgia gets Auburn, but dog fans are still talking about this Alabama game, and rightfully so. I want you to hear Kirby. He said, by the way, they wanted Milroe to beat them with his arm, but he said he didn't have to. Because once they got out to the lead and what happened and how the game transpired, you didn't have to worry about it because now he's playing with such a big lead. But listen to Kirby talk about Milroe.
You have to pick your poison. Do you want the guy to take off and beat you running? Do you want to, you know, play loose coverage and try to keep eyes on him so he doesn't take off? He ran the ball well on the perimeter, and we lost contain. And then he also threw the ball well, which made it really tough.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of picking your poison, right?
Right.
But I'm with Kirby on this. Like, if you told me going into that game, we're not going to allow him. And think about the second half. They really didn't. They kind of shut him down as far as the run game, right? The plays on the edge. But, Mike, if you said, hey, I'm going to need him to throw four touchdowns tonight to beat us, I would take those odds. I would tell you, okay, that's the way you have to defend him. But right. The way the game played, Kirby's right. Now you gave him options because you're up in this game, and now you've played the run. You got to play the pass. They've got these big explosive plays. But I'll be honest with you guys. I hope these two teams play again. I really do.
Yeah, and you may get it. I want to get your take on this. The narrative that's sort of come out. I'm not trying to make it sound like it's Georgia fans being revisionist here. Because look, you got your butts whipped. Okay, you're getting humiliated. It's 28-0. It's 30-7.
It's ugly.
But now it's like, well, but they. I saw Joel Klatt, you know, who does the big number one team for Fox, and I saw him on social media. He's like, I don't think there's any doubt that Alabama was shook. And that's, well, okay, they came back and hit a touchdown to win the game. If Alabama was shook or, you know, went into the shell with Jalen Milroe, I don't necessarily buy that. I think Georgia did make some adjustments, but Georgia blew it. We said all month, in the last 2 weeks, you and I had 2 weeks to talk about this. They can't have a slow start in a game like Alabama. And they had a slow start in a game like Alabama, and they lost because of it.
And they couldn't give up explosive plays. Guess what they did? The biggest play of the game was a 75-yard touchdown pass.
Right.
Like, to end the game, to take the lead for good, you cannot give up those kinds of plays.
And the drops, the Donnie Mitchell.
Absolutely.
You, again, Bama made the plays, and you couldn't make the plays. And, you know, if you catch that pass, that's maybe changes that how that whole vibe in the first quarter goes.
I heard Kirby say this after the game, as we're talking about the Dogs, as they get ready for Auburn. We'll talk more about the college lineup and what Saturday looks like. But, you know, I think they'll bounce back, and they're going to be fine at home. I am curious to see what happens with Alabama taking on Vandy. Don't laugh. Vandy is a different football team. They're physical. I do not think they're as talented as Alabama, but maybe that's a little bit closer than people expect. But, Mike, I'll say this. He said the mistake that was made on the play with Ryan Williams was we didn't get him on the ground. And it's so true. Now, think about this. If they tackle him where he caught that football, they still have to make plays to get into the end zone. And maybe the way Georgia's defense was playing, you give yourself a shot. But it didn't play out that way. And so the biggest mistake wasn't, hey, Ryan made a great play. Give the kid credit. We didn't tackle him.
Yeah.
And Kirby's right. So then
he's dancing around. I mean, it's like a Madden game, right?
Yeah. And so that, to me, is like if they tackle him where he caught it, Dog fans, maybe that's a different situation. But I don't buy that narrative, Mike. I'm not going to tell you that Alabama was shook. Listen, this is a game of give and take. It's a game of big plays. Sometimes this happens where you just, hey, you know what? We're up big. We relax a little bit. They got back into the game. But I'm not buying that Alabama was shook at all.
And there's no moral victory. I mean, again, anybody wants to take a moral victory from that one? I mean, it's everything you were worried about happened. Yeah, luckily for you, Carson Beck showed you why he was your starting quarterback, because once he finally shook off all that other stuff, he started making some really great throws. But it's still the Georgia defense. I think just real quick, we talked a lot about this. You maybe have to realize that the two national championship years, those defenses might never, ever be replicated by Georgia.
Well, they were historic. I mean, one gave up, this was before you got to the SEC championship in the playoff, 8 points. And then that went to 10 by the end of the year, I think it was. 10 points. You weren't scoring on them, Mike, let alone moving the football. So, and then you think about all the guys they put in the NFL off those two defenses. That's not a fluke, guys. So, I don't know if it ever happens again. That's why we kept saying it didn't matter who the quarterback was. Your defense was going to be in every. You were going to be in every game.
But if you have a defense which is, you know, really good as they were statistically going into this game before they got, you know, really blitzkrieged by Jalen Milroe in the passing attack. Now if we're honest, you kind of look like everybody else in college football in another 45-42 game, don't you?
But that's where football is. This is what I've been
saying. But that's where Georgia's living now.
But this is everywhere. It used to be the Big 12, and we would have these conversations. Mike was like, hey, does anybody play defense? This is college football now. Teams are going to score 40-45. You got to get a stop or two to win the game. That's what this is. The elite teams are going to score points.
But, I mean, what do you take from this to then apply? Okay, Auburn, you know, Auburn will probably hang for a quarter or a half. It is what it is. I hope Georgia's not, you know, get the hangover. Don't lose two games because you're not mentally right against Auburn. But you look at the Texas game, and now you're saying, what the hell are you going to do in Austin, Texas? If this was this was 2 weeks to get ready for Alabama.
Well, here's the deal. You talk about explosive plays. Quinn Ewers can deliver those. That's the fear. You think Milroe's arm is good? Quinn Ewers could be the number one pick in the draft because of his arm. So that is the question. Are you going to be able to slow down those explosive plays? Hey, man, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We got time to worry about that later. But when we come back, are you worried about our quarterback? We're talking about my quarterback. We'll explain next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. It's a crazy week, crazy 72 hours, you know, between the Georgia game, what the Braves went through, the Falcons game, and winning in that fashion. And now we find out for game one of the best of three in San Diego is going to be A.J. Smith, Shaver, who just got called up for the postseason roster, Carl.
You feel good about this? Because, well, listen.
Yeah.
First of all, let's be snit here for a second, okay? And you're laying out the names that Mike has laid out for us as far as here are our options. And by the way, he's not sitting in a room by himself, okay?
Right.
This is double A. This is all the decision makers in the front office and certainly his staff, first base, second base coach, hitting coach, everybody's sitting there, and they're going, what's our best option? And you got this list of names, and then you start saying, okay, how has he pitched in this situation? How has he been against the Padres? Has he ever faced this team? What is this righty-lefty matchups look like? Because, by the way, for those of you who don't know, the Padres struggle against lefties, okay? They just have. So you start to break down all this information, Mike, and then you just go with what you think is best. This is not an indicator that A.J. Smith-Shaver is the best pitcher on the staff. It is tonight. What do we think gives us the best chance to be in this game?
Right. And because of, this guy's not the old, I don't remind you, it's not a four-man rotation. It's a five-man. And the way things worked out, Fried's not ready to go if you wanted a lefty. So your two options were basically two right-handers, Bryce Elder or A.J. Smith-Shaver. If you just look at his statistics for the Stripers, it's nothing that's really eye-popping. 3-8 on the year, but you're just hoping you catch something. Grant Holmes did an unbelievable work yesterday. I think we all agree there. And it's a damn shame you couldn't have just, had a way to get Sale in here, but Sale's not even eligible. At some point, we're going to get the full story on what exactly the timeline is, Carl, with Chris Sale and the back spasms and just when did they actually know he wasn't going to be available. Either way, don't matter. You ain't got him. So all you can hope for is, these guys can hold it and the bullpen can hang in there, a bullpen that's been worked, and then Ronaldo Lopez and or Fried can step in.
Well, that's the other part about
this.
In
2 and 3, right.
Because of our situation with the doubleheader, especially the back end of our bullpen, got more work than we expected. So, if Iglesias could have closed that game yesterday, Mike, then you'd feel a little bit different. But because he didn't, and then you had to adjust, and then you went into the second game.
And Jimenez, by the way, after Jimenez couldn't close it out for Shaver in the eighth, they came back in. It was okay to do it in the nightcap. So,
right.
So for what it's worth, they did do their jobs in the second game.
Totally agree. So if you're just tuning in, this news literally is just coming down 10, 15 minutes ago. A.J. Smith-Shaver is going to start tonight's wild card series for the opener for the Braves. It is big news simply because we did not know who they were going to go with. And they had some options, but this is who they've chosen. Max Fried will start game two as expected. And I mentioned against lefties. It's not like they don't hit lefties. They just don't hit lefties as good as they hit righties. This is a stout lineup. I'm talking about the Padres. They're good, man. So, but maybe AJ, again, gives you a little bit of magic tonight. But I will say this, Mike. If we get clobbered in these first few innings, and let's just say they're up, three or four whatever runs, and he doesn't give you a chance, that's when it becomes very difficult to overcome. And we've seen that happen with this team, too.
So it would certainly be one, as we said, to start the show for the ages if you can use this cobbled-together lineup and beat a team. As we said, the Padres, the Dodgers get all the ink and the Mets for being the high payrolls, but the Padres aren't very far behind, bro.
No, not at all. All right, let's shift gears. We've got more Braves conversation coming up. Again, reminder, best of three, okay? Steal tonight, you make it very interesting. But this is a best of three. Here's a stat, Mike. Going into the fourth quarter, we're talking about Kirk Cousins. We're talking about our Falcons. They're getting ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Thursday. You'll be able to listen right here on your home for Falcons football. We will be live at Signia by Hilton down there from 2 to 4. Early conversation about what this game is going to look like. And then, of course, we lead into John Fricke and Joe Patrick there on Northside for the Wade Ford tailgate show. Here's the stat. Cousins was pressured on 6 of 27 dropbacks. That's 22%. He struggled when pressured this season, and obviously we've got two offensive linemen that are out in Dalman and McGarry with injuries. But does that startle you? Does that concern you? Does that say, hey, is there something we can do to maybe lessen that? Because Cousins, again, pressured on 6 of the 27 dropbacks, that's 22%. Is he playing well under these circumstances, meaning under pressure when it's in his face? Mike talked about the interception. Did he not see that? Did he not see Ray-Ray? Or was he trying to throw it to a spot? Like, we could go back game by game over the first few weeks, Mike, and say, okay, he looked pressured. He looked rushed. he looked nervous right there, and he wanted to get rid of it because he doesn't have the mobility.
Right, and I think this gets back to what, you know, the elephant in the room that nobody seems to want to talk about in Flowery Branch, that Kirk Cousins is still not, whether you want to use the, all right, whatever, what's your reference point? Kirk Cousins pre-Achilles injury, he's not even close to that. Can we just admit, can we all admit that?
Yes.
He doesn't look anything. Go back and watch the tape of him and the Vikings pre-injury. Nothing about what he's done with us looks like that. And I know before you guys start being snarky and saying, yeah, we don't have Justin Jefferson or Addison, those other guys. Well, we do have some good receivers. We do have a lot of athletes. And we do have Bijan. I mean, but Zach Robinson, that's the thing. Zach Robinson's got to find a way. Maybe it's hard for a first-year offensive play caller to have to kind of walk through the minefield of use everybody, get your quarterback, knowing your quarterback's not 100%. Oh, then your quarterback keeps screwing up. So now your usage rate goes down the drain because you only got 50 plays a game. So it's kind of like it's a self-propelling, I don't know, blank show when it comes to us on offense right now.
You bring up Detroit. It's a great example. So this is the third year, right, that Ben Johnson has been there as their OC. Remember last year he was a hot commodity, chose not to leave. And everybody said this is a big deal because he's going to come back and this offense is going to be better. And it is. But you see the creativity. But, Mike, the fundamental part of their offense still, they can run the ball. They have a great offensive line. You've got to be able to hang your hat on something. But I do agree with you about Zach and saying, hey, we got to see more creativity to get guys open. Like, oh, I don't know, eight. How do we find ways to get eight open more? That's not on eight. That's on Zach Robinson.
And we're learning how these guys handle, you know, the situation. Look, the coach, Raheem Morris, some guys that we saw some stuff yesterday on the text line. They thought, oh boy, here we go, Arthur Smith 2.0, because he said stats are for losers when it comes to Pitts. It's just when you look at where we're going, where we want to be offensively. I mean, there's got to be an expanded role for Pitts. It defies logic that there wouldn't be based on what he's supposed to be bringing, unless we're going to come to the conclusion that he's not all that you thought he was, cracked up to be.
Well, I'm bringing that up because you're talking about the guys that are responding to us, about the guys that play on these other teams. We have dudes, but you have to get them involved.
Right, and again, it's just unfortunately, if you can't move the chains, if you're going three and out or you're throwing, you know, you got two sets of plays and you throw a pick on the second, now, all of a sudden, your chance to get those balance touches for Algier and Bijan and everybody else is out there. Now, Darnell Mooney, I think you could argue, has been probably our most consistent receiver. I think Mooney's certainly been solid.
Nothing
against
Darnell?
Nothing against Ray, but I mean, I just want to see Pitts get more involved. And I just think nobody talking to Andy Randy tomorrow or in the press conference tomorrow is going to say, you know, Cousins really he's not back to being 100%, and, you know, he just can't do all the things we need him to do, and that's why we've got him more in the shotgun than we ever expected to be. And once we do get him under center, we can do the dropbacks, all these things that come into play. He's not going to say that,
no.
But I think that's where we're at.
What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. I want you to hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, about the last game and a couple of situations that played out. The whole pressure rate and how he has played on these dropbacks and what it has turned into is part of the story. It's not the whole storyline. We're just bringing it up to say, hey, when he's pressured, this is kind of what happens. And this is why we're not moving the ball on third down. Let me hear Cousins talk about the fact that he felt like, Mike, he was not good enough on that last drive, and Koo saved the day.
You know, honestly felt like the final drive was really not good enough by our offense. But, you know, Koo made an unbelievable kick. We got the pass interference call, and that was enough. But, you know, pleased with the complimentary football that happened today to get us the win. And now we can have a great chance to build on it.
Were you a little nervous, though?
Yes.
That last drive, not that he was going to throw a pick, but I'm like, why are we trying to throw the ball 25, 30 yards down the field when we need 10 for Koo to kick a field goal?
Yeah. I mean, they were going for the home run punch. I was with you on that one. I was happy just running the ball with Algier.
Just give me, dude, give me 10. If we get 20 in the process, great. But I just didn't understand that, Mike. It was a couple of times we threw the ball down the field. You're giving them a chance to make a play, which is a pick. And then our guy's like, okay, you're trying to create, I get it, a PI situation. But we didn't need that. We needed like 10, 15 yards at the most.
And, you know, it's funny. I know it's apples to oranges, but the Georgia-Alabama game, all of a sudden, Bobo got into a shooting match with Alabama when you could just run the football in the first half. All of a sudden, you want to turn this into like an old, you know, USFL game in the 80s.
My quarterback's better than your quarterback.
Right. And I just run the ball. What'd you get at ETN from Florida for? Anyway, getting back to the Falcons. As I said, guys are hitting me up going, so what are you, no, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just telling you. Guys, newsflash. Sometimes teams, they want to control the narrative. They want to control the message. And no one's going to come out and say, Cousins still can't do all the things we want him to do just yet. And I don't think he can. I think we're getting by because Kirk Cousins is still a really good quarterback. When he's getting to, when he gets to 100%, I think everything will start to click. But I don't know. I can't tell you that I think Zach Robinson's really good at his job yet. Haven't seen enough of it.
Let's hear Cousins talk about the pass protection. What did you think, Kurt, on Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't see how many attempts we had today, but usually, you know, whenever I felt anything, it was because I was going through a progression longer. So I thought they did a good job, and there was a lot of times where it was kind of one-on-ones across the board where they're rushing five. So I was really pleased. And even the sack fumble today was really me holding on to the ball too long. Jake did a really good job. I've been very pleased with him.
Mike, when I see Cousins, and you can watch this, okay? As a matter of fact, you can watch it Thursday night. Ball snapped. He's looking right, 1,001, 1,002. He goes middle, 1,001, 1,000. He goes left, and I'm going, pull, Kirk, get rid of it.
Right.
And then by that time, defense is on him, right? But he is literally going right, middle, left, or left, middle, right. Whatever it is, he's done this numerous times, and then it's just a hair too late.
Right, and then we get into, what are you asking Pitts to do? Are you just using Pitts in more of a traditional tight end role where you're expecting him to help chip and block? Where then, you know,
he
then
was split out a lot in that Saints game.
That's what I'm saying. So what's going on? Is he not? Now, there was a few plays, and I know you and I talked about it yesterday for guys who missed the show, where he's not exactly running a crisp route. You know, and some of that's got to improve. I mean, there's things that – it's the little things that you know, sometimes you hear Arch talk about on the radio broadcast with Wes. You've got to be able to get right. But it's – if this thing is going to get more dynamic, you got to get Cousins more healthy, whether they want to say it or not. But Pitts has got to evolve. The evolution of Pitts, it's got to happen. I mean, we said this yesterday, guys. He's got numbers for what you'd expect for a guy drafted fourth overall to have in one game, not four games.
Yeah, and I want you to hear Cousins one more thing, talking about how he feels like he's got to talk to the coaches about how he can be better, and it's kind of funny. I want you to hear this, but then I'm going to say something about Pitts getting open, Mike. This is Cousins talking about the voice memos that he sends to coaches.
It's great to find a way to win in this league. You know, after kind of a week of feeling awful about not finding a way last week, it's great to do that this week. You know, and there's a lot to fix. And so you come away saying, I'm so glad we won. But, you know, I'm going to be voice memoing on the way home to the coaches with some thoughts on how I got to be better and how we got to build on it. So a lot easier to get those voice memos after a win.
Talking about sending the coaches things that he felt like he could have been better at. Here's what I'll say about Pitts, guys. If you're telling me, and I've gotten this over the last 24 or 48 hours, that Pitts is getting locked down and he's being defended by these DBs. Listen, I said this. He's too big for that. He has to be more demonstrative. Mm. And these guys are holding me.
Right.
Move your arms. Move. Let these referees know. And then, Mike, he's got to speak up. Dude's holding me. You got to start watching that. If you guys are telling me that he's getting locked up by these smaller guys, we got a bigger problem.
Right.
He has to find a way to get open. And I'm not just putting that solely on Zach. Yes, scheme matters. But, Mike, these routes that he's running, if these guys are holding him, he's got to let the referees know and finally start getting some of those calls.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that have to improve on the offense, but we're 23rd right now in the league in total scoring. Right up there with the Rams. The Rams lost two big playmakers, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. What's our excuse? We're not getting enough plays. Cousins got to be better. Everybody, look, I think across the board, Zach Robinson's got to be better. Play to our strengths. And Carl, develop. And let's continue let's evolve with this offense because some of these things are just tough to watch.
Thursday, Tampa's in town. Another big divisional matchup. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are coming back. 3 o'clock hour straight ahead. Wes Durham's going to join us, the voice of our Falcons. We will also let you hear more of what Kirby had to say as we're still figuring out, hey, how did they get in that hole the other night against Alabama? That cannot happen again for Georgia. It's Dukes and Bell.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.